This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So the night of the Seder night, certainly evokes very warm memories in everybody's heart. Even the most estranged Jew celebrates the Pesach Seder. You could have a Yid, he doesn't know Aleph Beis, he doesn't know Shema Yisrael. But Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, I don't believe there are too many who don't know. But certainly that is perhaps the most well-known expression in all of Judaism, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. And what we would like to ask tonight is, Taka Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, what is so special about the night of Pesach? That more than Shabbos, more than even Yom Kippur now, it's a fact, more Jews are celebrating Seder night than any other Jewish custom. What is it about the Seder night that really pulls on the drawstrings of the Jewish heart? Why is it that the night of the Seder, a Yid feels the connection to Leil Seder? Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, Mikal Halelis. Okay, so we begin by examining a number of items about the Haggadah. And the first item we're going to examine is what we call the Simanim, right? Leil Seder, we pride ourselves that everything we do according to an order of operations. There's a specific way we do things, right? We know, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, not only that, not only is there an order, we actually say the order. The Seder begins by reciting Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, and many people even have a minog, that as they progress through the Seder, somebody announces, okay, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, yeah, you ever hear of such a thing, Sukkis? Before you start, you know, somebody recites, okay, Oshpizin, Kiddush, Shechianu, Netilas Yadayim, Gefilte Fish, right? There's no such thing as saying an order of operation. Before Yom Kippur, anyone get a, you know, Kal Nidre, Sifrei Torah, Appeal, Drasha, Nap, Baruch Hu. We don't have, you know, we don't have that by any other Jewish holiday or any other ceremony in Judaism where we actually recite a Seder of an order of operations. And the night of a Seder, we certainly pride ourselves that we do things according to a specific order. We have a menu, we have a recipe, how we're going to do things. The one night a year that we say we're doing things according to an order, it's out of order. Let's start very simply. We say Kadesh Orchatz. Now translate the words. Kadesh means what? By the way, who wrote these words, Kadesh Orchatz? These are not just, you know, written by some modern-day poet. Kadesh Orchatz was either written by Rashi or one of the Balei Tosfos, Rav Shmuel of Faliz. So these are very important words. And we know all the Balei Machshava, all the masters of Jewish thought, all the masters of Jewish philosophy delve into the meaning of Kadesh Orchatz, not just how it applies to what we do Leil Seder, but in terms of how we approach the service of Hashem in general. So just think about these words. Kadesh, right? What does Kadesh mean?
Kiddush.
Make Kiddush. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify. Orchatz. Wash. Does that make any sense? Sanctify yourself and then wash? I mean, first you wash something and then you shine it. First you clean something and then you polish it. First you clean something and then you paint it. Normally we say, we have a pasuk in Tehillim, Sor Meira Vaasei Toif. First you want to cleanse yourself from sin, and only then, after you've cleansed yourself from Averos, you're ready to embark on serving God in a holy manner. You're ready to embark on sanctity. I mean, Kadesh Orchatz is out of order. First should be Orchatz. First you want to wash yourself, cleanse yourself from Averos, cleanse yourself from your filth, cleanse yourself from Tumah, and then you're ready for Kadesh. Rabbi said this is the question of the Shem Yishmuel in the Haggadah, Shem Yishmuel. He writes in number 3, L'chayra hayaroi lichtav rechatz v'kadesh. If you want to tell me, if you're giving instructions to a Jew how he should progress in service of Hashem, first he should wash, like it says in Rus, v'rachatz, she washed, v'tzacht, and then she anointed herself with perfume. Right? Imagine somebody, you know, he's filthy, he's smelly, he's going to put on the cologne before he takes a shower. And that's not recommended. You don't have to wear cologne. It's not recommended to wear cologne ever. But if you want to wear it, first take the shower. Then put on the perfume. But, right, v'rachatz v'sacht. Why the other order? Why the night of Pesach? Is it Kadesh and then Orchatz? Okay, that is question number 1. We move on. Seder night. And if you notice, if you're paying attention, Everything we do on Pesach is performed during the nighttime. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matzah, Marar, Hallel, Seder. Everything is in the nighttime. You ever wonder? Never the entire year is there any mitzvah that you only do at night. Shofar, only the day. Bris Milah, only the day. Hallel, only the day. Talis, only the day. Tefillin, only the day. Yeah, there are certain mitzvahs you do also at night. Yeah, right? Like Megillah, like Sukkah, but only the night? Yeah, Chanukah, you can't light candles during the day. You can't see them. But Leil Seder, to specifically do a mitzvah in the nighttime? What is that? Why is that? Why the night of Pesach do we specifically do mitzvahs during the nighttime? Rabbi Isai, who asked this question? The Vilna Gaon. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon. And this question is brought down in number 4 from Rav Nachum Mendel Mishkalov. And he cites his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, that why the night of Pesach do we specifically do mitzvahs during the nighttime? Okay. For all you Hebrew grammarians, or you experts in Hebrew grammar, let's try this one. Another question. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylois. Now, the word layla, right? We know in Hebrew, words could be masculine or feminine, right? In English, a word is a word. Words don't have genders. But in Hebrew, words have genders. They're masculine words or feminine words. The word layla is
feminine.
How do we know it's feminine? It ends in kamatz, hey, layla. So why do we then say manishtana halayla hazeh? Not halayla hazeh. She manishtana halayla hazeh. Ask the Vilna Gaon, why in the most well-known phrase in all of Judaism, it's wrong, it's incorrect, it's an error. It should be manishtana halayla hazeh. And to add insult to injury, we find later on in the Haggadah, right, the Haggadah tells us, Ma'aseh Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Tarfon, Shehayu Mesubin, where were they sitting? The Bnei Brak. Vahayu Mesaprim B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oisai Halayla. They were talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim the entire night. Oisai Halayla? What should it say? Ask the Shlach HaKadosh, it should say, Oysa HaLayla. Layla is Lashon Nekeva. Should say, Oysa HaLayla. The word Oysai is Lashon Zachar, is masculine. It should say, Oysa HaLayla. Feminine. So why, when it comes to the night of Pesach, the word Layla, which is Lashon Nekeva, it's being described as HaLayla HaZeh. Oysa HaLayla. We got it wrong. Oysa HaLayla. It should be Oysa HaLayla. It should be Manishtana HaLayla Hazois. Okay, another problem. We know the night of the Seder, we do a lot of things to arouse the curiosity of the children, right? The Rambam even says, Choytfin matzah. We steal matzah, we grab matzah. By the way, Rabbi Isai, you know, there's a big debate, there's a big discussion. Where does it come from, the whole concept of stealing the afikoman? Not really a Jewish thing to steal, right? It's actually one of the Ten Commandments, right? As obscure as this lav may be to some people, right? Stealing is one of the Ten Commandments. And yet, the night of Pesach, we encourage the children to steal. So, the grandson of the Chassam Sofer one night, the night of Pesach, he says, you know, Zayda, why do we steal the afikoman the night of Pesach? Chassam Sofer, you know, the kid had him for a little bit. By the end of the Seder, Chassam Sofer tells the kid, you know, the Gemara tells us, what keeps the Ganovim out of the city? The dogs. The dogs, if a ganav comes into someone's backyard, who's going to make sure that the ganav doesn't come in? Good old, you know, Rober the dog. He's going to bark. He's going to scare the ganav away. The night of Pesach, some service said the dogs weren't barking. So the ganavim had free access to all the homes. So to commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim, to commemorate what happened in Mitzrayim the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the Ganovim, they were going on a rampage, stealing, because all the dogs were out of commission. So to commemorate the Ganevas that happened, Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim, says the Chassam Sofer, that's why we steal the Afikoman. Okay, very interesting possibility. But Mirtz Hashem, later this evening, we're going to explore another another source for this custom of stealing the Afikam. But one of the other things that we do to arouse the curiosity of the children, the Rambam writes, look at number 9, Tzarech la'asos shinoi b'layla hazeh. We're supposed to do different things. Kedei sheyiru habanim, so that the children should see, v'yishalu, and they're going to ask, v'yayimru ma'anishtana ha'layla hazeh mikala lilas. Says the Rambam, what do you do different to arouse the curiosity of the children? Says the Rambam, Ketzad Mishana, Mechalik Lahem, Kloyos Ve'agosh. You give out toasted grain and nuts. You give out nuts. Right, nowadays we have better things. You have jelly beans, you have, Laffy Taffys. In those days, the best thing they could come up with were nuts. Nuts? The one thing you don't want to give out the night of Pesach is nuts. Why not? We know Leil Rosh Hashanah, right? To many people, it's a severe avera to eat nuts the night of Rosh Hashanah, right? The Ramah brings down there's a custom. We don't eat nuts the night of Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Eggos, right? Everybody knows. The word eggos has numerical value, right? What? 18? Right? Right? 19? And the eggos is gematria chet. So therefore, the night of Rosh Hashanah, we avoid nuts. And the Rambam's telling you, but Leil Seder, what should you give out? Nuts? I mean, that's the one thing you don't want to give out. It's the one night a year you're trying to train the children. You're trying to teach them emunah. You're trying to teach them bitachon. And what do you give them? Nuts! Give out jelly beans. The Rambam, I guarantee you, could have come up with 100 other items you could have given the kids. The one thing we don't eat Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam says, give out to the children. This question is raised in the Haggadah, Yushalayim b'mayadef, from Rav Avigdor Nebenzal, the Rav of the Old City, and he brings up this a very interesting point. Why is it that the night of the Seder, the Rambam, has no problem distributing egoism to the children? Okay. Next question. We move on in the Haggadah, we come to the four children. The four children. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the Sheinu Yodei Lasha. What is the Rasha doing at the Seder? What's he doing there? Who invited him? The rest of the year, you bring the Rasha into your house? You kick him out of the house. A Rasha? What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Harchik ben Rasha. And the night of the Seder, you're bringing him in. So fine, you want to bring him in, let him sit by the front door. You're sitting him down at the table, and he's asking you a question, and you're debating with him in front of everybody. What are you doing with the Rasha? Why is the Rasha there? Harchik ben Rasha, al tischaber la Rasha. Why is the Rasha invited to your Seder? Why is...
It's your son.
You're not fasting. It's not Yom Kippur. Right? Anu matim l'spalam ha'avaryonim. But we don't say Anu matim l'spalam by Leil Seder. What are you bringing in the Rasha to the Seder? And to make things even worse, you know, imagine if you're doing research into a shidduch. So you call up somebody, and the guy you're calling up knows that there's some, ancestor in the family who, the family's not really so proud of. So they tell you, about the great-grandfather and the great-uncle, and, they avoid talking about that relative that, the family's thrown in the closet, nobody talks about him, right? The whole year, did you ever hear anybody ever say, yeah, Klal Yisrael, you know who we're from? We're from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Terach. You ever hear anybody ever talk about Terach? Nobody even knows who Terach is, right? Whoever heard of Terach? And the night of the Seder, we have a new yichus, right? Everybody, the whole year, we're Bnei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, right? We're the sons of the Avos. Nobody ever heard about Terach. Terach is discommunicated. Even in the Torah doesn't even tell us when Terach died. We want to because nobody thinks that Avraham Avinu just ran out of the house, so therefore we make believe he was he died earlier at a different time. The Torah does a major cover-up, right? We once had a shir on this. When it comes to the Chumash, the Ribbono Shel Olam does a major cover-up act to hide Terach, throw him under the rug. He's a skeleton. We hit him in the closet. Nobody ever talks about Terach. And the night of the Seder, how do we start off? The first thing we talk about. Oh, good old Terach. Metchila, oivdei avoyde zara, hayu avoyseinu. Vayom Yerushua, kol ha'am, look at number 14. Koyam ha'ashem. Alakei Yisrael, beivar, no, Yoshua, avoyseinu, ma'am. Terach, avi Avraham. All of a sudden, Terach is like the Elta Zeda. It's like we take his picture out, and we put him up over the dining room table with all the other Zedas and Bubbas. Terach, we make believe we're not related to him. We say, He was just a family friend. And the night of the Seder, all of a sudden, you know, we don't talk about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Terach, right? All of a sudden, he's the Zeda. I mean, what are we drumming up Terach for? Leave him in the closet, you know, cover him up with all the other junk. And why are we calling him a father? The Gemara tells us in Brachas Tazayinam Abayz, Al Tikri Avos, Ela Shloisha. We only have three fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, and finally, question number seven is like this. The Karban Pesach, in essence, is a Karban Yachid. It's not a Karban Sibor. Every individual is responsible to bring a Karban, and if you don't bring a Karban, you have to join up with a Chabura. Now, when it comes to a Karban Yachid, if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, can you bring a Karban Yachid? No, you can't bring a Karban Yachid. Tumas Hutcho Betzibur, if you have a communal obligation, a communal sacrifice, so even if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, you could bring a communal sacrifice. But the Karban Pesach is a Karban Yachid. And even though a Karban Pesach is a Karban Yachid, it's the only Karban Yachid you could bring if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei. Why? Somebody has to bring a Karban Taida, let's say, a sacrifice of Thanksgiving. If he's Tamei, can't bring it. Someone has a baby and they bring a Karban, a Yoledes, Tamei, can't bring it. And yet when it comes to Karban Pesach, if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, you could bring it even though it's a Karban Yachid. And not only that, even if you're Tamei, you could eat the Karban Pesach. It's unheard of. There is no other kachim. There's no such thing as a sacrificial offering that could be eaten in a state of impurity except for the Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Isai, we have a number of questions over here. Let's just sum them up. Right? We have seven questions tonight. Question number one. We ask, what kind of order is it? Kadesh and Orchatz? It's out of order. First should be Orchatz. First you wash yourself. First Sur Meirah. And then Ba'aseh Tov. Number two, we want to know why the night of Pesach, all the mitzvot are done at night. The rest of the year, the mitzvot are only done during the day. Number three, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. It should be Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. Oisai Halayla. It should be Oisai Halayla. We wanted to know, why do we give out nuts at the Seder? Nuts represent Chet. Rosh Hashanah, we don't eat nuts. Pesach, we give out nuts. What's the Rosh doing at the Seder? Why are we bringing up Terach? Keep Terach in the closet. And number seven, Karban Pesach is the only Karban that is brought betuma. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to interrupt ourselves. I'm going to throw out an unrelated question to you. Okay? No, just to, you know, distract us a little bit for a few moments while we digest the questions. Okay? I'm going to throw out a very interesting question to you. We know the night of the Seder, you're obligated to drink four cups of wine, right? Dalet Kaisers. How much wine does the cup have to hold? Revias Halug. Whatever that is. Different Shiurim. Rav Moshe, Chazanish, Rav Chaim Na. However many in it, it's a Revias. How much do you have to actually drink?
At least a cup.
Right. Majority of the cup. How about when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah? How much matzah is one required to have on the night of Pesach?
Kazayas.
How much do you have to eat? Whole kazayas. So why is it that when it comes to Dalet Kaisas, where you have to drink a revias, it's sufficient to have rive, majority of revias. And when it comes to the kazayas, it's not enough to have the majority of kazayas, you have to have the entire kazayas. We're just, you know, we're taking a little break from the first part of the shir just to have a few minutes of lumbus, okay? That's what I could tell that's what you're in the mood of right now, right? So, why is it when it comes to the Dalet Kaisais, Rav is enough? You say, Rubai Kekula. If you do the majority, that's good enough. And yet, when it comes to Matzan, Lel Seder, you have to have the entire Kazayas of it. Okay. So, the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva says a very important principle in general when it comes to the general understanding of the concept of Rav. We know in Judaism there's a concept, Rubai Kekula. The majority of something is like the entire thing. When does it apply? When does it not apply? Says the Chassam Sofer. Whenever the entire item has to be in front of you, So then we view it as one unit, as one unified component. Then we say if you have the majority of it, it's as if you had the whole thing. But if you don't need the entire unit to be in front of you, then it's not good enough just to have the majority. You need to have everything. You need to do everything. For example, you have a court case. How many judges are required in a standard Jewish court case?
Three.
Two Dayanim say Reuven, one Dayan says Shimon. Who wins? Reuven wins. Why? Two against one. What do you mean? But it's not unanimous. No, you don't need a unanimous decision. Rubai Kekulai, the majority of the Beis Din is good enough. Why is that? Says the Chassam Sofer. Because when it comes to a court case, what if only two judges show up and they both say Reuven? Who wins? Reuven doesn't win. Why not? Because you don't have a court. It's not. But what do you mean? Even if I had a third guy and he would be dissenting, it still would be two against one. No. The halacha is you need all three judges to be in front of you. It's one unit. Anytime you need everything to be in front of you, majority is good enough. By Dalet Kaisais, how much has to be physically in your cup? How much does the cup have to hold? How much has to be in the cup?
Revius.
So the majority of Revius is good enough. But by Matzah, how much has to be in front of you? There's no requirement of anything to be in front of you. You could eat a tenth of a kezias in this room, go run into that room, eat another tenth of a kezias, run into the third room, eat another tenth of a kezias. There's no halacha. You have to have a kezias in front of you. The halacha is you need to eat a kezias. Because the halacha does not require that the whole kezias be in front of you, it's not considered one unit, and we don't utilize the rule Rubai Kekulai. So I always say, tonight, if you're having a hard time falling asleep, you know, you'll contemplate this question. Why is it by Dalet Kaisais, majority is good enough, and by Achilas Matzah, majority is not good enough? Okay. Back to the ranch. Okay. So basically, we had seven questions, and we have one answer. And the answer is that there is a challenge in life that almost all of us, if not all of us, face all the time. And the challenge is that at times a person may be inspired to come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, to do more mitzvahs, to elevate oneself, to sanctify oneself. And at the same time, the Yetzer Hara comes to the person and says, who are you kidding? You want to sanctify yourself? You want to come closer to Hashem? You want to do more mitzvahs? Don't you remember all the averus you once did? Remember when you were a teenager? Remember what you did 10 years ago? Remember what you did last year? Remember what you did an hour ago? You know how many averus you do? When was the last time you really learned, you know, properly? When was the last time you dived in one Shemana Esa with Kavana? And you want to do mitzvahs? You want to sanctify yourself? No, no, no. That's for big tzaddikim, not for a person like me and you. And the Yetzer Hara tries to make us feel dirty. The Yetzer Hara tries to make us feel sullied by averus. The Yetzer Hara says, yeah, you want to sanctify yourself, but look what you do privately. What about all those private averus you do that nobody knows about? And the Yetzer Hara tries to pull a person down. He tries to say, who do you think you are? Before you come and do any mitzvahs, before you sanctify yourself, before you come closer to Hashem, sur meira, first stop doing the averus. Then you'll talk about, you know, kedusha. And this is somewhat of a valid taina the Yetzer Hara has here. Yetzer Hara comes to a person and he says, you know, are you really worthy of embarking on such a path? Are you really worthy of coming close to Hashem? And not just in our spiritual lives, but even in our regular, ordinary, day-to-day lives, people feel they have baggage. People feel, you know, how am I ever going to be successful in finding a good job? The last 100 interviews didn't work out. How am I going to be successful in Shiduchim? It's not happening for me. And the Yetzer Hara tries to pull a person down. He says, it's not going to work. You're not the guy. It's not going to happen. And often, life seems very bleak, physically, spiritually. Yetzer Hara tries to paint a very dark picture. He tries to make a person feel that he's not worthy. But let's think for a minute. Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim. They're in the land of Egypt. They're languishing. They're wallowing in Mitzrayim. They've sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. You know what that means? Mm-hmm. The Rambam tells us that if the Jewish people had remained in Egypt for one more moment, they would have fallen to the point of no return. They would have fallen to the 50th level of Tumah. The Navi Yechezkel says, "V'ad Eirim V'Arya, we were naked and bare of mitzvahs. We were idolaters. Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, v'halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah." So here you have a bunch of Jews. They're idol worshippers. They're on the 49th level of Tumah. They are wallowing, they're languishing in Egypt. They're Balei Avera. They're full of Tumah. They're full of Chit. And then they get a knock on the door. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Rabbeisai, we're leaving Egypt tomorrow, and you're about to start a voyage of the most majestic mission in history." Yeah, what's that? We're going to receive the Torah. Receive the Torah? What Torah? Us? We're idolaters. We're Balei Avera. We're Tumah. We're nothing. We're worthless. We have a slave mentality. Imagine you go into, you know, a prison, yeah? And you take criminals, murderers, adulterers, and you tell them, "Guys, okay, we have a little mission for you guys. We're going to convert you, and then we're going to bring you to Lakewood, and you're going to start giving chaburas to the best talmidim in Lakewood, and then you're going to be the Rosh Yeshivas. You're going to start yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And then you're going to be the Gedolei Hadar, and people are going to come to you for brachas." And they say, "Say what?" Right? We're still, first of all, let's get off, let's wean ourselves off of our addictions before we think about learning Aleph-Bays. And you're telling me about becoming a big Rosh Yeshiva? And that's what happened in Mitzrayim. That's exactly what happened in Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael were on the 49th level of Tumah, to the point where the Malachim said, "What are you saving the Jews for? They're no better than the Mitzrim." And you know how bad the Mitzrim were? They were Ervas Haaretz. They were the lowest of the low in history. And the Jewish people, who the Malachim said were no better than the Egyptians, the Jewish people are having a message, you know, get ready, pack your bags, you're about to go to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. How are they going to do it? Mem Teshari Tumah? From the 49th level of Tumah? The answer is, says the Shem Yishmuel, in the name of the Avnei Nez, Pesach had a different Seder. The Seder of Pesach was a different Seder than the rest of the year. The rest of the year, if you're a Russia, we say, skedaddle, get lost, go fly a kite. First stop sinning, and then you can open up the Gemara. First stop sinning, and then you can worry about Kedusha. The rest of the year, we tell somebody who wants to come closer to Hashem, get rid of your Yetzirah first, and then we'll talk about sanctity. But the night of Pesach has a different order. The night of Pesach, the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Klal Yisrael, who were in the Mem Teh Sharei Tumah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam pulled every Jew by the collar, and he says, "Kadesh! You'll worry about Orchatz later. You'll worry about cleaning yourself off later. You'll worry about removing the Avodah Zarah later. You'll worry about stopping to sin later. You'll worry about the Tumah later. You'll worry about the Averus later. Right now, the mission is jump into Kedusha. Don't look back." The night of the Seder has a different order. It's the Seder of Pesach is Ipcha Mestavra. It's the exact opposite of the rest of the year. The rest of the year, Sor Meira, Va'asei Toiv. The rest of the year, first you have to stop sinning. First you have to throw away your Avodah Zarah, throw away your Yetzirah, throw away your Averos, and then we can worry about Kedusha. The night of Pesach, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Klal Yisrael, "Kadesh!" After Kadesh, we'll worry about Orchatz later. That is the principle of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I saw recently this week, from you have on the sheet, I believe it's the last Mar Makam, in number 28, from the Kedushas Tzion. Kedushas Tzion says, you know, we say in Kiddush, "Tchilo lemekroi kodesh, zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim." What do those words mean? "Tchilo lemekroi kodesh, zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim." So he explains, Kedushas Tzion explains, "Tchilo lemekroi kodesh," the very first step of a Jew who's about to embark upon Kedusha. And the Yitzhar is schlepping him down. He's saying, "Don't do it. You're not worthy. Who do you think you are? You're the wrong guy for the job. Don't you remember all the Averos you've done? Don't you remember all the Chatan you still do? You're telling me," the Yitzhar says, "you're going to try to attain Kedusha, and then in an hour you're going to go back to the Averos? No, you can't do it." Says the Kedusha Siyon, "Tchilo lemekroi kodesh." You want to start Kedusha? The first thing you need to do is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Think about how God took us out of Egypt. Amidst the Mem Teh Sharei Tumah, Hashem said, "Don't look back. You're on the lowest level possible. You're serving Avodah Zarah. You're Eroim Ve'Eriyah. You're naked and bare of mitzvahs. Don't look back. You know, all you need to think about is one thing. It's brought down in the Haggadah, Tiv HaHaggadah, Rabbi Gamliel Rabinowitz. He's a big Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael. He's a very popular speaker now. He writes, V'achshav kervanu amokom la'avoidasai. The main avoidah, the night of Yitzis Mitzrayim, is V'achshav kervanu amokom la'avoidasai. All you need to know is, today, God has brought me close. Don't think about yesterday. Don't think about the past. You want to think about the past, that's for the rest of the year. The night of Yitzias Mitzrayim has a different Seder. The Seder of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Kadesh. You jump into Kedusha and you worry about the Orchats later. That's a tremendous lesson of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rabbi Isai, the rest of the year, when do we do mitzvahs?
Daytime.
During the daytime. When things are clean, when things are pure, when you've removed the dirt, when you remove the symbolic filth. Daytime represents a time of purity, a time of cleanliness, a time when we removed ourselves from Ra. That's when we do mitzvahs. Because the rest of the year, first you need to do Sur Meira, and then you could do Asay Tai. And this I heard once from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. But the night of Pesach has a different Seder. The night of Pesach, we do mitzvos dafka during the nighttime. Dafka from the time of Tumah, right? Night represents the time when the forces of Tumah are prevalent, when the forces of evil are prevalent. The night of Seder, we say, we're not scared of the dark. We're not scared of Tumah. We're not scared of evil. We're not scared of Chatoim. We do mitzvos mitoich the Tumah. That is why the night of Pesach, we say, says the Vilna Gaon, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. Because the night of Pesach we transform symbolically into day. Yes, night is Lashon Nekeva. But the night of the Seder, we're able, from the nighttime, from the Tumah, from the impurity, from the sin, from the filth, we transform the Laila into Yom. That's why Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. That's why Hayim Mesubim Bnei Brak, Hayim Mesabrim Yitzias Mitzrayim Kol Oisay Alayla. The night of Pesach, we're able to see the symbolic light in the dark. Rabbi Yisai, the rest of the year, Terach. Never heard of him. Who's Terach? We're not related to Terach. Terach, maybe he's like, you know, your aunt's third cousin. You're not really related to him. We only have three fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Aye, but Avram lived in his house. No, the Torah says, you know, he died earlier. We don't even know who he is. We hide him in the closet. We put him in the back shelf. We let him collect dust. You know why? Because the rest of the year, we're afraid of Terach. We could overcome such an origin. We can't overcome that. The rest of the year, it's Sur Meira. You have to remove yourself from evil. There is no way to overcome a Zedah like Terach the rest of the year. But the night of Pesach, we bring Terach out of the closet. We say, this is who we come from. And we're not afraid. We're not embarrassed. We're not ashamed. Because the night of Pesach, we could overcome Tumah. We could overcome Averos. We could overcome Filth. We could overcome Laila. We could overcome Terach. Terach's at the Seder table. And the night of the Seder is the one night a year the Rasha has a fighting chance. It's the one night a year we tell the Rasha, come in, come in, the rest of the year. We don't know what to do with the Rasha. How's the Rasha going to change? The Rasha is going to overcome all of his mistakes, all of his averos, all of his taivas, all of his yetzaharos. The night of the Seder we tell the Rasha, come to the table. Bring your Avodah Zarah with you. Bring your Tumah with you. Don't stop. We tell the Rasha, keep on doing it. No problem. Because the night of the Seder, we have a different order. The order of Pesach is Kadesh. That's the message. The message of Leil Seder is first sanctify yourself. You'll worry about Orchats later. And we bring the Rasha to the table, and what do we do to the Rasha? This is not necessarily the recommended Kiruv approach, but we punch him in the mouth, and we knock out his teeth. Right? Now, usually that won't do the job and bring a person closer to the Torah. But here, very interestingly, the Baal Haggadah recommends that you take the Rasha, right? No Mesilas Yesharim, no seminars. You just take your fist, you punch him straight in the mouth, right? That's why many Jews are dentists, because of Leil Seder, right? And we punch him in the mouth, and we knock out his teeth. What does this mean? So it's brought down in the name of the Alshech. You take the numerical value of Russia. What's Russia? Resh is 200. Shin is 300. Ayin is 70. You get what?
570.
You take the numerical value of Shinov. What Shinov? Shin is 300. Yud is 10. Vav is 6.
Nun
is 50. Yud is
10.
You get 366. What's 570 minus 366? 204. Sadik. That's what we're doing the night of the Seder. You take the Rasha of 570. You knock out his teeth, 366. You're left with Sadik. It's the one shot the Rasha has. The rest of the year, we don't give the Rasha too much of a fighting chance. But the night of Seder, when we have a different Seder, we have a different order. We tell everybody, sanctify yourself. Don't worry about what you've done in the past. Don't worry about your ghosts. Don't worry about your past misdeeds. Don't worry about your Avodah Zarah, your Taivus, your Yetzaharas. Just come, jump into Kedusha. We bring Terach to the table. We give out egoism. We're not afraid of Chatan. We give the Rosh Hashanah. Oy, Rosh Hashanah, we sit there from sin. Rosh Hashanah, God is evaluating every single Avera. No nuts the night of Rosh Hashanah. No pistachio nuts, no walnuts. All the nuts, right? All of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah night, everyone has a big taiva for walnuts. The whole year, nobody, you know, people have shalos if they have to make a shachiyanu on walnuts. And the night of Rosh Hashanah, all of a sudden, everybody wants walnuts. Yeah?
On the Seder plate, we have the karosis made out of nuts.
No, nah, what? Yeah, right, that's true. That's true. Very good. But specifically, the Rambam ordains to give out a goyzim the night of Pesach. Why? We're showing we're not afraid of chet. We're not afraid of terah. We're not afraid of the rishayim. We're not afraid of the night. We're not afraid of the night. And we shouldn't be afraid of ourselves either. You know, Chazal tell us that what night of the year did Esav come to Yitzchak to try to get the brachos? Right? And what night of the year did Yaakov get the bracha? Well, you look on your sheets, you have a number. Number 18. Yitzchak tells Esav, bring me Shnei Gedoye Yizim, bring me two goats. So Rashi asked, two goats? I mean, no Jew could eat two goats. You can't even eat a whole goat. I mean, even a guy who could really pack it in. Maybe a third of a goat. But to eat two goats, I mean, and Yitzchak Avinu, he couldn't even see. I mean, a guy like that, he's old, he's frail, and he's going to eat two goats. Rashi wants to know, what's Yitzchak going to do with two goats? Says Rashi, it was the night of Pesach. And the night of Pesach, you have to bring two karbanos. Karban Chagiga and the Karban Pesach. And we find an amazing thing. Yaakov comes in, he brings his father the food. Yitzchak gives Yaakov the brachas. Just then, Yaakov slips out the door. Esav comes in, and when Yitzchak realizes that Esav came in, Vayecharad Yitzchak charado gedoy lad moed. Yitzchak trembles. He said, "If you're Esav, who is the first guy?" So Esav says, "You know, Tata, maybe have something a small bracha for me. Maybe you saved me one small bracha." So you know, Yitzchak says, "Sorry, I ate everything." I mean, that's how one of the tzaddikei olam talk. He ate everything, but there's no room for dessert. So have a piece of chocolate cream pie. Esav will bring him some dessert, some jello or something, some kompot, some fruit soup. Have a little bit from Esav, and then give Esav a shtickle bracha. No, I ate everything, sorry. And then later the pasuk says that Yitzchak tells Esav, "Ba achicha b'mirma, your brother came with trickery." What was the trickery exactly? And then look at Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos says, no, it doesn't mean trickery. Bichachmisa, with wisdom. What was the great wisdom of Yaakov Avinu? Says Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Says the Baal Shevet Moser. Yaakov's a smart guy. He knows it's the night of Pesach. So you know what he feeds his father? First he feeds him the Karban Chagiga. Then he feeds him the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is called what? Afikoyman. And what's the halacha? Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikoyman. So Yitzchak says, Esav, what do you want from me? I ate everything. I ate everything I'm halachically allowed to eat. I can't eat one more morsel. So says the Targum, it was trickery, but it was chachma. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, take the gematria of the word b'mirma, afikoyman. Exactly. Ba achicha b'mirma, your brother came b'mirma, The word b'mirma is 287. Afikoymen is 287. Yaakov stole the afikoymen. Yaakov stole the afikoymen. Says the Sefer. Minchas Eliyahu from the Shevet Musar. If Yaakov stole the afikoymen, what do you expect from us? This is the makar for stealing the afikoymen, says the Baal Shevet Musar. Let me ask you a question. Of every night during the year, why did Yitzchak choose to give Esav the brachas dafka the night of Pesach?
Because he wasn't afraid.
Because Yitzchak was no fool. Yitzchak knew exactly who Esav was. Yitzchak knew Esav was a Rasha. He knew Esav had too many averos, too many taivos, too many yitzharas. Esav was not somebody that Yitzchak would give the brachas to. But the night of Pesach, Yitzchak understood that even Esav has a chance. The night of Pesach, Yitzchak understood, we're not afraid of the Rasha. We're not afraid of Terach. We're not afraid of the Agoizim. We're not afraid of Chataim. We're not afraid of Memteshari Toma. You can have someone on the lowest possible level. Someone completely bereft of mitzvahs. Somebody bereft of Meisim Toivim. On the lowest level like Esav. And he could turn it around the night of Pesach. Why? Says the Avnei Nezer, because the night of Pesach has a different order. The order of the night of Pesach is Kaddish. And after Kaddish, only then it's Orchatz. Esav has a chance. Leil Seder. The rest of the year, by the way, very interesting. What bracha does Yitzchak give Yaakov Avinu the night of Pesach? V'yitein lecha Elokim mital hashamayim. That's the makar for davening for tal on Pesach. V'yitein lecha Elokim. But this is what we're learning. The night of Pesach, we're not afraid of Terah. We're not afraid of Rishayim. We're not afraid of Esav. We're not afraid of Egoizim. We're not afraid of the night. And the lesson is we should not be afraid of ourselves. Now, I don't believe we featured this great tzaddik before. Rav Baruch Mimezhbezh was the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. He says something very interesting. Why do we eat the Karban Pesach? The Ribbono Shel jumped over the door. God jumped over the door. So, you know what that means? On a very obvious level, God physically jumped over our doors. He killed the Egyptian. He killed, right, Muhammad. He jumped over the Jewish person's door. He jumped over our doors. But on a symbolic level, we know that there's a general rule in Judaism, in Avodas Hashem, that the Ribbono Shel says, I want you to come close to me. I'm begging you. I'm yearning for you. But you have to take the first step. Pischui Pesach Kechuda Shamachat. Just open up a little bit. You have to open the door a little bit. And I'll open it the rest of the way. But I'm not willing just to schlep you along without any effort on your part. You have to take the first step. Says Rav Baruch Mimezhbezh. On the night of Pesach, God jumped over the door. You know what that means? He said, the night of Pesach, you don't have to open that first step. You don't have to open up a little bit. You don't have to open that Pesach. You don't have to open the opening. God jumped over the door. Which door? The door of Pischui Pesach Kechudo Shamachat. The rest of the year, Hashem says, it's not so easy to come close. First, you have to clean yourself off. You have to stop with the Averos. You have to stop with the Yetzaharas, the Taivas. And then you have to take the first step. The night of Pesach, God says, Kaddish! Just jump into it. Yeah, I don't need any cleansing. I don't need any major tshuva. You don't have to stop with the Averos. You just jump into Kedusha. God jumped over the door. God jumped over the door. Rabbi said, we know that as we conclude Magid and we finish the meal, what's the first thing we do? We go to the door. We open the door. We open the door. What is the inyan of opening the door? There are many different pshatim. I saw in the Haggadah, Halakach v'Halibov, of Rabbi Avram Shor. He says, the symbolic act of opening the door the night of Pesach represents that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling every single Jew, the door is open. Come right in. Kaddish! There are no prerequisites. There are no conditions. There's no Rechitza, there's no tahara necessary. It's Kaddish, come right in. and then Orchatz. And that's the lesson of the Haggadah. That often in life, a person feels bogged down, he feels weighed down, he feels like he has baggage, he feels that, yes, he wants to grow, he wants to come closer to Ribbono Shel Olam, but he has so much that he needs to get rid of before he could do that. The focus of the night of Seder is Terach Avi Avram Avi Yitzchak Avi Yaakov. We had a Zeder called Terach. He was a Rasha. And yet, the Haggadah tells us, V'achshav kervanu hamakom avodasai. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam has brought us close to his avodah. We don't look back. We don't think about the Memtesh Shari Tumah. We don't think about where we came from. We don't think about Terach. We're not worried. We're not worried about the Rasha. We're not worried about Terach. We're not worried about the night. We're not worried about Tumah. We're not worried about being bereft of mitzvahs. It's V'achshav kervanu hamakom avodasai. First comes Kadesh. And then we worry about Orchatz, Rabbosai. Have a good evening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.